Welcome, welcome. I'm excited that you're here. I want to ask you guys a question this morning as we get started. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you're having a conversation with someone and they're just talking about something and you're thinking to yourself, I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, I have no understanding of what they're talking about, but you pretend like you know what they're talking about so you don't look dumb, right? Anybody in here done that? Some of you are doing that right now. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate that. We've all done that to a degree at one time or another. I remember back in January, I think it was in 2003 or 2004, I was in Toronto, Canada, in the middle of winter, which is not the time to go visit Toronto, Canada, by the way. But I was there because I was getting ready to take a group of high school and college students up to Toronto for a mission trip. We were going to go help some church planters up there. And I went early to kind of see where we were going to be staying, because, you know, you got to tell mom and dad where the kids are going to be staying, and to see some of the ministry sites and to meet some of the leaders. And I met this guy by the name of Roger Farrell, who was the project coordinator for that week. And he was this fun and charismatic guy and stuff, but he was introducing himself to me. And he introduced himself, "Hi, I'm Roger Farrell." I'm like, "What do you do?" He's like, "Well, I'm an apostolic church planter." And at that moment, I just nodded my head and said, "Oh, that's awesome. That's great." And I'm like, I have no idea what an apostolic, I didn't tell him that because I didn't want to look stupid, right? But I had no idea what an apostolic church planter was. And most of you that are in the room or online right now, you were like I was in January of 2003. You have no idea what an apostolic church planter was or is. I mean, I know what a church planter is. They start churches. But that word apostolic, and that's a little weird, right? I mean, it sounds a little kind of out there, a little freaky. Maybe it's something that was relevant back in, you know, when Jesus was walking the planet, or when the first disciples were walking around, or when Paul was writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Maybe that was a word that was used back then. But today, an apostolic church planter, what in the world does that word mean? Well, I hope that by the end of our time together, you have a better understanding of what Roger meant when he told me what he was. And so that's kind of the direction we're going today. We're looking at really what we're doing during this series is looking at five words or five descriptions, five roles and responsibilities that are found in the book of Ephesians, or the letter to Ephesians, because Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. But one of the things that we've discovered about this letter is it wasn't written to the leaders in the church at Ephesus. It was written to everybody, which means that Paul's letter was written to you and to me. It's written to all of us, no matter who we are, what our spiritual maturity level is. It is a letter for everyone. And last week, we looked at this verse out of Ephesians chapter 4 that I want to show you again, verse 7, where Paul writes this. He says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts." And what we learned last week that we need to be reminded of this week is that God has given each and every one of us a gift. That's what Paul's saying here, that each and every one of us have been given a gift, which we're like, "Woo, thank you, God," you know, and we know that the gift of salvation, he's something that he's given us, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about something different. Each and every one of us has been given a gift. Well, what are the gifts, Paul? Well, he tells us a couple of verses later. Look at what he says. He says, "And he gave," and here they are, the gifts, "the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." Now, most of us who grew up in church, this is where we kind of stepped off the rails a little bit last week when we talked about this. Most of us have heard this taught before, that this refers to the leaders in the church, and the leaders in the church have a responsibility to equip everybody else for the works of ministry. But what I'm kind of challenging us with, what I have personally been challenged with, what I hope stretches all of us to a degree, is that what if these five gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, what if these five gifts aren't for the leaders in the church? What if these five gifts are for all of us who are a part of the church? What if each and every one of us who are a part of Jesus' family have one of these five gifts to a degree? I think we might. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to unpack the first gift, the apostle. We're going to kind of talk about that and kind of figure out what an apostle is and kind of what an apostle does, and really figure out if we might be an apostle. And I know that might stretch some of you, but just hang in with me for just a little bit. But what Paul tells us is that each one of these gifts is important for the church to grow up. It's so important for each one of these gifts to be living out their role and responsibility within the church and within the community and within the world in order for the church to grow in unity and maturity and Christ's likeness. But if we're going to do that, we got to figure out what our role is. So we're going to talk about this apostle. Now, I think that when most of us hear the word apostle, we usually first and foremost think of those original 12 disciples of Jesus, right? That's what pops into our mind. They were the apostles. Maybe we think about Paul for a little bit because he defines himself as the apostle Paul or describes himself as the apostle Paul. But we think about those guys for just a minute. But interestingly, the word apostle wasn't first introduced in a religious arena. It was first introduced in a secular arena. And it kind of meant this. Look at this. Apostles were people who are sent as commercial or diplomatic agents with a particular purpose to fulfill. Now think about this for a minute. An apostle was someone who could have been an agent or an ambassador for a king, and his role or his responsibility was to promote the king's political agenda, to promote the king's commercial interests. And they these highlighted words here are so important. They are people who were sent with a particular purpose to fulfill. Sent with a particular purpose to fulfill. Well, what happened was, I think that the church and the early Christians kind of co-opted this term to describe a role or a function or a responsibility that some of us have in the church. And from that, we get our definition of an apostle. Real simple. An apostle is someone who is a sent one. You want to know what an apostle is? It's a sent one. Real simple. Now, let me just say this for just a minute. If you're in the room or online, I hope that you're using the Bible app right now, the YouVersion Bible app. On the events section of the YouVersion Bible app, you can find Hub City Church, and it's got all the notes for today. And there are a lot of notes for today. Like, I sent the notes out to Cassidy and to Randy, and Randy wrote me back and's like, holy guacamole. Like, you know, I resign because there's so many notes today. But I get to be a professor and kind of teach you some things, and I'm really excited. So there's a lot that's on there, and I want you to be able to find it so you can kind of go back and review and kind of figure out, is this me? Am I an apostle? I also want you to be able to kind of recognize what an apostle is when you might see one. And so you can save that on the notes there. You can write it down, things like that. But that's, I just wanted to remind you that that's there because that's really important. But an apostle is a sent one. Now, like I said, a lot of us, when we think of an apostle, we think of those 12 guys that followed Jesus around. Actually, it was 11 because Judas hung himself. We won't include him in the group, but you know, them. And then we think about Paul, but we think about those guys back then. But maybe something that would be helpful for us is to think of an apostle as a big A apostle versus a little A apostle. The big A apostle would be those original guys. You know, the guys that followed Jesus around, that wrote the New Testament, all that kind of stuff. That's the big A apostles. But then you have the little A apostles, and the little A apostles, that would be people today. That would be people who have this gift or this responsibility to live as a sent one and to help us as a church live as a sent people. And what's fascinating to me is that word apostle is found around 80 times in the New Testament. And many of the times that we find it in the New Testament, it's not talking about the original 12 or 11. It's not talking about them. It's talking about other people. Look at this list of names. We got a list of names. You got Paul. You got Barnabas. You got Junia, who was a woman, which, you know, you're like, what? Yep. And then you got Andronicus. Be glad your parents didn't name you that. Epaphroditus, Silvanus, Timothy. And then in 2 Corinthians, there's this group of unnamed apostles. I don't know why Paul described them as this group of unnamed apostles, but maybe there's too many of them, or maybe they had names like Andronicus, you know, and he didn't want to, he's like, I can't spell it. I don't know. But there are all these people that have this title or this role or this responsibility. They're described as an apostle, and they're not just the original guys that followed Jesus around. See, it's clear that there are apostles other than those guys that followed Jesus around. Well, since that's the case, what are the role and responsibilities of an apostle? Now, before I tell you what the role and responsibilities of an apostle are, I want to tell you what an apostle is not, okay? Because I think a lot of times we get confused, especially when we hear this today. Because a lot of times today, when you hear the word apostle, it's used as a title to indicate authority, power, and kind of, you know, I'm over a certain amount of thing. That's kind of how apostle is used a lot in our contemporary culture and some churches and things like that. But the word apostle was never a title, or it was never an indicator of power. Also, the word apostle didn't indicate that you had some super spiritual status, like you were a super Christian, you're super close to Jesus, you're an apostle. You're just a disciple, but you're an apostle. I was actually pointing at Alan there. For his super spiritual status. But that's not, an apostle's not a title that indicates power and authority and position. It's also not an indicator of spiritual maturity. So what is an apostle? I'm gonna show you a few statements that might help unpack this, help us kind of understand this, that I've gotten from some other people out there. But as we look through these statements, the rest of our time, as I describe to you what an apostle is, as I describe to you what their roles and what their responsibilities are, I want you to ask yourself a question. Does this describe me? See, the whole point of this series is for you to figure out which one of these five gifts you have. So I want you to ask yourself, does this describe me? Because here's what I know. Some of you in this room, some of you online, you have this gift, which means that you have this responsibility. And in order for us to be the church that God wants us to be, in order for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we've all got to be living out our role and our responsibility. So ask yourself, does this describe me? Look at some of these statements. First one. Apostles, in the generic sense, are those sent to pioneer something new. I love this definition. The apostles are people who are sent to pioneer something new. Now, this can be worked out in the secular world. It can be also worked out in the church world. Think of the secular world for just a minute, which is phenomenal for me because we don't usually think of apostles or somebody having this gift of being an apostle kind of working outside the church, but we see them everywhere. We see them with people who start new businesses, entrepreneurs. They have this gift of apostleship. You see it when teachers are brought into a failing school to turn things around. They have the gift of apostleship. We see it in other ways where people who architect systems or who kind of create something out of nothing. That's how it's kind of played out in the secular world. But we also see this in the church world with people who start new churches or people who have a passion to start new ministries within churches. See, they are people who are sent to pioneer something new. Let me show you another quote. This one says, The heart of the apostle is to awaken people and communities to join God in the renewal of all things. The reason why I love this statement is because an apostle's job isn't just to go out and start something new. Their responsibility involves bringing the church along with them. In this is to awaken something within the rest of us that don't have this gift, to awaken that people and communities or churches to join God in the renewal of all things. See, some of us just don't have that in us, but we have other people who can awaken that within us. That's what an apostle does. Look at one more quote here. He says, apostles seek to help people understand and live out their calling as a sent people in the world for the sake of the world. This is why this role is so important. This is why this responsibility is so important, because what apostles do is they help the rest of us live as sent people. Because our tendency is to turn inward, to become focused on ourselves, to just think about ourselves, to just think about our own church. But apostles, they turn our focus outward. They help us to realize that we need to live as sent people. So, do any of these describe you? Does anything that we've talked about kind of stir something inside of you and you think, that might be me? I want to give you some other descriptions that might further help you understand the role of an apostle. Let's talk about their core bent. You know, the bent is just kind of how you function, who you are, kind of how you go through life. All of us have a bent, you know, in that verse in Proverbs that we screw up all the time where it says, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And we think of that as a promise. It's not really a promise, but what it really means is figure out what your kid's bent is and then train them up in that according to who they are. Don't try and make them something that they're not. Make them, you know, figure out who they are and help them grow into that. Well, that's, all of us have a core bent, and an apostle's core bent, they're a pioneer. They're an entrepreneur. They're an architect. Like they love starting something new. They love going into new territories. They love thinking of things that are new. Like the status quo, what is boring to them. Why? Because the kingdom needs to expand. They need to move forward. And so they have this bent of a pioneer, an entrepreneur, or an architect. Let's go on and look at their focus. Their focus is on a viable future. They're not looking at the present, they're looking at the future. And not just the future in terms of dreams, but how can we make the kingdom move forward in the future, a viable future, and the expansion of the Christian movement. Like they're so focused on not just the church expanding, but the movement of Jesus around the world expanding and growing. See, apostles, they don't just start churches, they start movements. If they're doing what it is that they're supposed to do. And I know this is a crazy thought, but God has gifted some of you to be like that, to be people who start movements, who are about the a viable future and the expansion of the Christian movement. Let's talk about some character traits of an apostle. Some of you, this will resonate with some of you. They're adventurous, they're futuristic, they're risk takers. See, I love these character traits because just to let you know, I have a little bit of an apostle in me. I wouldn't have started a church if I wouldn't have, I don't think. But I love risk-taking. I love being adventurous. I love thinking about the future more than I like thinking about today. And those are some character traits of an apostle. So think about, does that describe you? Are you adventurous? Are you futuristic? Are you a risk-taker? Let's talk about their leadership style. Now, you don't have to be a leader to be an apostle, but a leader, you know, apostles that are leaders have a certain style. They're decisive. They're design focused. They're strategic, decisive in that they're good at making decisions. This is the way that we need to go, and we're going to go in that direction, right? They like to focus on design and to think strategically. And then they have some overriding decision-making concerns. Like they use these filter questions. Will this help increase our capacity for mission? Will this move us forward? See, they're about moving forward, not about staying the same, but about moving forward. So they ask these questions. Will this help increase our capacity for mission? Will this move us forward? And then they use some kind of things to kind of measure if they're being successful or not. I love this. Their metrics for success are a healthy and systematic extension of Christianity. See, this is fascinating for me because their metrics for success aren't a church growing into a mega church. Their metric for success is bigger than that. It's about the extension of Christianity, and not just for, you know, extension's sake, but this healthy extension of Christianity. But the problem is a lot of times apostles have some shortcomings. So we've already talked about positive stuff. Let's look at some shortcomings that apostles have. They're driven, they're demanding, and they can be insensitive to others. Now, some of you know you're like this, but you don't want to admit it. And some of you are sitting next to somebody that's like this, and you just elbowed them a little bit. But their tendency is to be driven, which means that they can push people out of the way because they're trying to get somewhere, and that's how they can be insensitive to others, and they can come across as demanding. Why? Because they have this idea of what needs to happen and what needs to come, and they don't want anything to get in the way of that at all. Watch out for these. If they had a slogan, it would be this: onward and upward. Onward and upward. That's kind of their slogan. That's their desire, is to be onward and upward. Now, I want to just talk about a few historical examples, some people that are apostles, that have been apostles, that we can kind of learn from their example. Look at this list. First, you have Jesus. Now, I know, whoa, time out. I thought Jesus was like, you know, he's the Son of God. He's separate from this. But what we're going to discover is that each one of these gifts, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, and shepherd, they're all found in Jesus. He is the original right here. He's the one we should look to as our example. And Jesus sets an example for us of what an apostle is. There's this scene or this kind of story that takes place in John chapter 20 where Jesus kind of shows up in this room. It was right after his resurrection, and the disciples had kind of locked themselves up in a room. They were afraid of the religious leaders. They knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they're still afraid, which is weird, right? You would think they would be like, oh my gosh, Jesus has risen from the dead, but they're afraid of their life, so they locked themselves in a room, and then Jesus, like, walks through the locked door, just shows up in the room with them, which would cause anyone to have a heart attack probably, but he shows up in the room with them, and instead of rebuking them, which he probably should have done, because he probably should have said, why are you guys hiding out? Didn't I give you something to do? Don't you have a mission to accomplish? But no, they're hiding away. But instead of rebuking them, Jesus says this in John chapter 20. He says, peace be with you, which they probably needed to hear at that moment because they're scared. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Notice what he says though. As the Father has sent me, Jesus recognized that he was sent. He was a sent one, which means that he is an apostle. But not only does he stop he doesn't just stop with being a sent one. No. He in turn sends them. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. Jesus is our original example that we should look for. But think back to the list again. You got Jesus, and then you got Paul. I want you to think about Paul for just a minute. I think Paul is the prototype apostle that we find in the New Testament, because his entire life and his entire ministry was all about going somewhere new to start something new, to go somewhere new to start a new church. If you open up your paper Bible and you look all the way in the back of your paper Bible, there's all these maps back there of Paul's missionary journeys. Why? Because Paul was an apostle. He was all about going somewhere new to start a church. In fact, he wrote this to the church in Romans. Look at what he says. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. See, Paul had something inside of him that just urged him on and motivated him and kind of pushed him towards starting something new. He didn't want to build on somebody else's foundation. He didn't want to go where somebody else was. He wanted to start something brand new where people had not been yet. Look at some other examples. You've got St. Patrick. Now, I know when you hear St. Patrick, you think clovers and green beer, right? But what you might not realize about St. Patrick, but St. Patrick was responsible for starting thousands of churches around Ireland. Is that not amazing? Like, here's this guy we celebrate by partying on March 17th, but who was responsible for starting a movement of Christianity. He was an apostle. He started all these churches. It was phenomenal. You've got John Wesley. Some of y'all know who he is. He started all of these small groups of making disciples. It was this movement of small groups that he did. And then you've got my friend Roger Farrell, who, remember, described himself as an apostolic church planter. Later on, I figured out what that was. His desire, his goal, actually, just to be honest with you, I ended up asking him what that meant later on in the weekend that we were there, because I was so confused by that. He says that his desire was to go someplace and to start a church and to get it up and running and then hand it off to somebody and go start another church someplace else. Get it up and running and then hand it off to somebody. Go someplace else, start another church. Get it up and running, hand it off to somebody else. That was what he felt called to do. And I thought, I heard that and I was like, I'd rather kill myself than do that. That sounds awful, right? You know, but that's what God had planted in him. He had this apostolic gift to start something new. So here's my question for you. Does any of this stuff that we've talked about so far describe you? Are you an apostle? See, I think we've been afraid of this word in the modern church in the West. It's frightening to us. We don't understand it. And so since we're a little bit afraid of it and we don't understand it, what that causes us to do is to pretend it's not really in existence right now, or that if some of these traits that we talked about, if they're alive and well in us, we kind of downplay it, we push it down. But what if God has gifted some of you to be an apostle? Have you ever thought that the extension of Christianity is dependent upon you exercising your gift? Which is crazy, right? We've talked about it before. If I'm God, I'm not using us to accomplish my mission, but God chooses to use us to accomplish his mission. And if we're going to accomplish his mission, then the apostles need to step up and do what they're called to do. They need to live a life worthy of the calling that they've received. And I think some of you are called to be an apostle. You know that. You've heard these statements, you've thought about this, but if you're still on the fence, I've got some assessment questions for you. These are also in the notes. Like I said, it's hard to read this probably if you're online, but you can go back and read these. But do you have the DNA of an entrepreneur? Do you dream about a better future? Do you have a history of calling people to participate in advancing God's kingdom by starting new ministries? Is the thought of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ into places and people groups that have no tangible witness exciting to you? These are some questions that you can kind of ask yourself, some self-assessment questions that you can kind of use to guide you as you figure out, is this me? And even if none of what we've talked about kind of registers with you, I want you to spend some time answering these questions this week. I want you to think through some of these, which goes to our homework. Here's your homework for this week. Homework is this. I want you to reread Ephesians. I know you're like, I've read it through twice already. Read it through a third time this week. I think God has something else he wants to say to you. Pick a different translation. Read it in that. Reread the book of Ephesians. If Ephesians really is Paul's manual on how to be the church, we need to become experts at the book of Ephesians. So reread that. And then I want you to answer those assessment questions. I'm going to put them on the Facebook page. You can find them there as well. Like I said, they're on the Bible app. You can go through those. But I want you to spend some time thinking through those. See, like I said, I believe that we have some apostles in our church, which sounds weird to say, I know. And some of you are like, oh, you've gone off the deep end, Jonathan. You're like a charismatic, or you're like some weirdo or something. Mm-mm. Apostles are just sent people who want to motivate the rest of us to live as sent people. It's from Jesus, right? I mean, he says, I've been sent by the Father, and I am sending you out. And some of you are called to do that. And your role and responsibility is essential. We talk about essential workers today. Apostles are essential to keep us focused on living within our mission as sent people. Apostles are essential at helping us live out our mission as a sent people. So, do you have this bent to you, yourself? Do you have this passion inside of you? Are you for something new? Are you an apostle? I think if we're ever going to be the church that God's called us to be, and let me just tell you, it's not about, this is not just about Hub City Church. This is really about the extension of Christianity within our world. And I think that for God's kingdom to continue to expand, the apostles need to step up and do what it is that God has called them to do. And some of you are apostles, and guess what? I'm giving you permission to stand up and do what God has called you to do. Live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these gifts that you have given the church. I thank you for the opportunity for us to talk about what an apostle is. And I really do believe that we have some apostles in our church. Some people who have this gift to not just live as sent ones, but to lead the rest of us, to motivate the rest of us, to spur the rest of us towards living as sent people. We have people in our church who have this desire to start new things. Would you just give them the freedom to live a life worthy of the calling that they've received? Give them the courage to do that. I want to pray for those that kind of something stirred inside of them as we talked about this right now, that they would take it upon themselves to do some more research, to do some more exploration, to figure out how to live out this gift, how to live responsibility and responsibly in light of this role that you have given them. Give them the courage to do that. I pray that they would not just toss this to the side and forget about it, because I think that your kingdom coming is really a partnership with you doing your part and us doing our part, and we want to be people that do our part so that your kingdom comes and your will is done. We love you. Thanks for giving us a gift. Thanks for calling us to something that's bigger than ourselves. Help us to get a better picture of who we are individually so we can better be the people that you've called us to be corporately. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.